In the beginning of Perek Chof Hei, of Chapter 25, the Alter Rebbe begins to draw the conclusion of the first 24 chapters leading up to the explanation of the Pasuk, Kikore Velecha Hadover Me'oid, that it is very close, having explained that it is close to every Jew to serve God, because he thinks about God's greatness, and this arouses a feeling of love and fear in the heart, and so he serves God and does mitzvahs, b'ficha u'bilvavcha, with the mouth and with the heart. But that doesn't explain how it is very close, because in order to do that, you have to have a head, and you have to understand godliness, and you have to be able to contemplate God's greatness to the point where it moves the emotion, it moves the heart to love and fear, and not everybody can do that. So how is it very close? How is it kore ve'lecha hadova m'eid? And for this, the Alter Rebbe begins to explain in Perek Yudches that there's a natural love that every Jew already has. He doesn't have to create it. He doesn't have to produce it, give birth to it from his intelligence. And therefore, even a person who doesn't have a head for the subject of godliness can serve God with the heart, because it's an inheritance from the patriarchs. And that's why we see that every Jew, even the lowest of the low, cannot separate himself from God, even at the cost of his life. So when it comes to Avodah Zarah, he dies rather than separates himself from God. And that's the natural love that every Jew has. Now, if we take that into consideration, that a person would remind himself who he is and where his heart really lies, the hidden love that he has in the recesses of the heart, this would make him, like the lowest of the low, incapable of separating himself from God, but not only in a circumstance or in the condition of Aveda Zaza, but in every Aveda, because every Aveda is a violation of the prohibition against Aveda Zaza, and every mitzvah he will be moved to fulfill, because every mitzvah is a detail, a prat, in the commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the commandment of belief in God. So the attachment to God and the avoidance of Avodah Zarah, the positive and negative side of the mitzvah of Emunah, these touch the essence of the Jew and they arouse his Mesiras Nefesh. Only sometimes it is obvious, like when it's literal Mesiras Nefesh, when the non-Jew says, bow to the cross or I'll kill you, then that Emunah is sparked, or the chachma of the nefesh, as the Rebbe said. And that makes it impossible for the Jew to sin. The same is true with every Aveda, which is not a literal Aveda Zarah, but an aspect of Aveda Zarah, as the Gemara says, that no Jew would ever sin, Elinke nichnas beruach shtus. And what kind of a sin? Any sin. Any Aveda. A Jew is incapable of committing without the ruach shtus. What is the ruach shtus? What is this insanity? The insanity is, number one, he forgets who he is. He forgets that he loves God. And number two, he convinces himself that the sin doesn't make a difference. Therefore, it is very close to every Jew to do all mitzvahs, both the positive and the negative, because a person is capable at any moment to simply remove that insanity, to rid himself of the insanity, and to not forget who he is and where his love really lies, and to not deceive himself into believing that the sin won't make a difference. And as long as he's not deceiving himself, then he has within his heart a love for God that doesn't permit him, doesn't allow him to sever himself from God's oneness, and therefore he will not sin and will not fail to perform a mitzvah. Tanya for the 26th of Shvat is on page 332 in Perek Chav Hei, chapter 25, in Lessons of Tanya. Here the Alter Rebbe is saying that just as a Jew will not commit idolatry, Avodah Zarah, even the lowest of the low, because of this hidden love, the same is true with every sin. Now, although a person can say that with every other sin, I can do tshuva. It's only with Avodah Zarah, since it's an Isser Kares, where the soul gets cut off, then I won't be able to do tshuva. So So the distinction between Avodah Zarah and every other sin might mean that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, then there is Mesiras Nefesh. When it comes to other sins, then there isn't. So the Alter Rebbe says, by Avodah Zarah, you can also do tshuva. You can do tshuva for a sin that has a punishment of karis. And still, even though a person knows that he can do tshuva after bowing to an idol, yet he refuses to bow to the idol because even temporarily, even for the moment, for the time between the bowing to the idol and the time that he will do tshuva, during that moment he will be separated from God, and the Jewish soul can't bear that separation. We learned earlier that the definition of emes, the definition of truth, is that which is always, that which is forever. If you can do tshuva on something, and therefore the sin lasts only temporarily, then the sin is not a real sin, and the separation is not a real separation. So a person might make this distinction for himself. If it were a true separation, of course I would be incapable of doing it. No Jew wants to really be separated from God. But since the regular sins, not Avodah Zarah, a person can easily do tshuva, readily do tshuva, and therefore the sin will only be a temporary separation. A temporary separation is not only a short separation, it's also not a true separation. And a separation that isn't a true separation, maybe this a Jewish neshama can tolerate. So the Alter Rebbe says you can do tshuva for Avodah Zarah also, and still a Jew can't bow to an idol even though he knows he can do tshuva. Page 332. A parenthetic observation. Although a person who says, I will sin and do tshuva, then he is not given an opportunity to do tshuva. And here it sounds like we're saying that a person should allow himself to commit the sin because he knows that he can do tshuva. And still he doesn't permit himself the sin, which proves that even a temporary separation is intolerable to the soul. So the Alter Rebbe says, wouldn't that sinning on and then doing tshuva, wouldn't that make it impossible to do tshuva? Then the tshuva wouldn't work if he did it that way. And maybe that's why he refuses to bow to the idol, because he won't be able to do tshuva if he bows to the idol and then does tshuva. Because that's like saying, I will sin and do tshuva, and then you're not given an opportunity to do tshuva. So Alter Rebbe says two things. Hainu, what does that mean? She'ein machzikin yodei liyeis leishas hakeisha lasis tshuva. It's not that he will not be able to do tshuva. It means that he won't be given opportunities. Usually a person is given opportunities from above. Circumstances are set up for him, and it's arranged that he should be inspired to do tshuva, they should be reminded to do tshuva. But if a person says, Echteva Oshuv, I will sin and do tshuva, then he's not given those special opportunities. But that doesn't mean that he can't do tshuva. Avalim docha kasho v'osu tshuva. But if he went out of his way and pushed to do tshuva, ein loch dava she'ein midbifnei tshuva, then there is nothing that tshuva can't bring forgiveness for. And the second thing is that the reason that a person who says, I will sin and do tshuva, is not given an opportunity, is because he's using the tshuva as an excuse for the sin. And since ein kategir nasa saneger, the same thing can't be both your enemy and your friend. If the tshuva is your excuse for sinning, if you're using it for your sin, then you can't also use it for your tshuva. So a person says, echdev oshuv, it doesn't mean I will sin now and do tshuva later. It means I will sin now because I can do tshuva later. Were it not for tshuva, I wouldn't sin. But since I can do tshuva, therefore I will sin. So here we're talking about a person not bowing to an idol. He refuses to bow to an idol, even though he can do tshuva. We're not saying that he should bow and do the sin because he can do tshuva. When he bows to the sin, he's not thinking about he's not using tshuva as an excuse to sin. He's going to bow because the non-Jew is holding a gun to his head and saying bow. And he won't do it even though he knows that he can do tshuva later, because tshuva here is not his excuse for sinning. And still, he doesn't do it. The af al pikein kol ish Yisrael muchan umezuma limse nafshal kedushas Hashem. Even so, when it comes to actual avodah zarah, every Jew is willing to give up his life. Shelo yishtachaves avodah zarah afilu lefisho velasis tshuva achakach. And he will not bow and separate himself from God, even temporarily, until he does tshuva. V'hainu mipnei eir Hashem hamalubish benafsham kinam. And this is because of the godliness of their soul. She'einei bebechinas man v'sho'a klal. Now this godliness is not subject to the passage of time. It's not governed by time. Elo lemaila mehazman. It is above time. And therefore, in reference to that godly part of the soul, there's no such thing as temporary. Only if you're subject to the passage of time does time change, past, present, and future. And if the present quickly becomes future, changes, then you've had a temporary separation or a temporary experience. But since that part of the neshama, the godly part, is higher than time, therefore for that part of the neshama, there is no such thing as temporary. Everything is permanent there because past, present, and future exist simultaneously. Shalit umeshal olav kaneida, and godliness also governs time, it rules over time, and therefore it determines the nature of the time. The time does not determine the nature of the godliness. So that it could be that for a momentary sin could be more significant above than a longer lasting sin. Because time doesn't dictate to godliness, godliness dictates to time. So the godliness will say whether this moment is more significant than a thousand years in some place else. So a moment is not determined by the laws of nature. The significance of the moment is determined by godliness. So to godliness, you can't say it was only a minute. Godliness governs, time doesn't govern. And so, in reference to that part of the neshama, there is no such thing as temporary, and there's no such thing as insignificant because of a short duration. And that's why, even though to the conscious mind, to the conscious part of the soul, this is only a momentary separation, still, the godly part of the neshama does not permit it, can't tolerate it, because to the godly part, there is no difference between a short time and a long time. The Hayem Yom for the 26th of Shvat, the Rebbe writes, Ahava is the Ruach HaChayim in Avedas Achsidus. Love is the breath of life in the Aveda of Chassidus. It's the thread that connects Chassidim to each other. It's also the thread that connects the Rebbe to Chassidim. And Chassidim mit the Rebbe. And Chassidim with the Rebbe. As is hein bederech er yosher, hein bederech er chezer. It's both an initial inclination and a response inclination. In other words, it comes from the Rebbe to Chassid, that's the initiation, and then there's the response, ahava, the response love of Chassid to the Rebbe. Es hot kein mechitzes nicht, there are no boundaries, there are no separations or barriers for this love, and es is hecher von der Hagbole von Mokim Uzman, and it is higher than the limitations of time and space.